Welcome to the Ridgecast, a tool created to have conversations about topics we can't always cover on a Sunday. Our desire is for you to become equipped to follow Jesus and be mobilized to pursue his kingdom. We hope today's dialogue takes you one step further in your discipleship journey. Now here is this week's episode.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to the Ridgecast. Hope you guys are having a fantastic day doing whatever it is that you guys are doing today, knocking out some errands, going on a run, doing whatever it is that you need to do today. Thanks for inviting us into your ears or into your car speakers today. And I'm so excited for today's conversation. I've got two special guests with me today, two newcomers to the podcast. Really pumped for you guys to hear from them. I'm going to let them introduce themselves. You guys have no idea who's to my left or my right, but that doesn't matter. So we're going to go ahead and let the person to my right here introduce herself.
Hey, I'm Courtney, and I serve here at The Ridge on the women's leadership team, and I also serve here in the student ministry. Surprise, we're talking about motherhood today. So I have a two-year-old little girl, and yeah, wait, I'm supposed to share my occupation. Yeah. I am a registered nurse at a local hospital here, in town. Well, actually it's in Blairsville, but still in town.
And I am Trista. I also serve on the women's ministry leadership team, as well as serving with Courtney in mom's group. I have three kiddos, a seven-year-old and twins that are 6 years old, and I work as an elementary school counselor.
Right on. Well, you guys both have super challenging professions.
Yes.
I've always thought being a teacher would be super challenging, even though I do teach in some capacity in my job. But I just think that would be so hard.
Yes.
Working in there. So shout out to all the teachers who are
100%.
Listening.
100%.
Absolutely.
You guys are my hero.
Mine too.
My hero. And being a nurse would be just as hard for me too, because I can't handle anything gross.
I love all the gross stuff.
Not me.
But I think I would rather handle that than a bunch of kids all day long. So props to you, Trista.
And I'd rather handle the kids and the feelings.
Right. Well, hey, all of our medical professionals out there and teachers are our heroes here at The Ridge. But that's not what we're talking about today. We're talking about, like Courtney said, we're going to be talking about what it means to be a mom today. So news flash to everyone listening. I'm not a mom out there. But luckily we have two awesome ones here. And we just wanted to talk really today about, kind of some challenges and things like that, you know, why is it so hard to be a mom today? But on top of that, we want to talk about a little bit, you know, the vision behind this group that you guys have kind of already mentioned. And its mission here and purpose. So what is purpose, and why did you guys decide to start that, and what's the heart behind that?
Yeah, so I had a baby around 2.5 years ago. So it was right before the pandemic started. And I had my daughter, and right after it, 2 weeks later, the entire world shut down. So, you know, you expect visitors to come and hold your baby when you need to, and your friends to come visit, but that just didn't happen. And so I entered into this season of just isolation. It was very lonely. It was a very dark time in my life. And I started reading this book with Trista. Trista and I actually weren't very good friends until motherhood, and it's just cool how God can bring you together through motherhood. And so that summer we were reading a book together, and it talked about a mom's group, and I just felt the Lord just stirring this in my heart of, we need this in this community. We need a mom's group. So I closed the book. I only read like one chapter of the book, and it talked about this, and I was done with the book. I got what I needed out of it. And I told Dylan, which Dylan is my husband, and I told him, I was like, I've got to start a mom's group here. And he was like, whoa, you need to pray about it first. So I reached out to Trista, and I was just like, we got to start praying about this. We have to do something. Like, moms need each other. We need a community of support. And just because even not in a pandemic, motherhood can feel isolating. And yeah, Tristan and I began to pray about it for about 6 months. Yeah. And then we met up, we would meet up and talk about it. And God just started beginning to work and things were falling into place. And that is how the moms group really got started.
Yeah. And we kind of connected on that experience of like loneliness. So when I had my first daughter, I just really struggled deeply with postpartum depression. And it was something that I was in denial of at the beginning. And once I kind of started talking about it and realized how many other women struggled with that, but felt like they didn't have anybody to talk to about that, or felt like nobody else had that same experience as them, then that was really when that was kind of confirmation for me that we need a place where moms can connect with each other and where moms can share their experiences with one another so that they can know that they're not alone. And so Courtney and I were able to share in that isolation and loneliness experience, which was a very difficult time, but God has brought so much good out of it.
Absolutely.
Why do you guys think that so many people mothers really struggle with isolation and feeling alone? About half the population are women, you know what I mean? And not every woman's a mom, but you know, if you take, you know, a good chunk of that number probably are. So it's like, yeah, I know there's other people out there. You know, why do you think that people feel like, man, I'm isolated right here. I can't really reach out to anyone. You know, where do you think that comes from?
Well, I think that first off, there's a lot of hormones in that. And so after you have a baby, your hormones are trying to regulate. That's the nurse side of me, I guess, coming out. But besides that, I think for me, and I know other moms experience this too, it's a different season of life. Mm-hmm. It's a new season of life. So I was one of the first of my friends to have a baby. And so it wasn't necessarily that my friends were turning against me. It was just they didn't understand the season of life that I was in. And I didn't really understand the season of life I was in. It was all new to me. It was new to me. Being sleep deprived was new to me. Not getting to stay out with my friends late at night was new to me. Not getting to go as I wanted to anymore was all new to me. So in that, I think it just felt a little isolating in that newness and learning, because you're learning yourself all over again. You're learning a baby. And so there's just those challenges that come with it that make it feel isolating.
Yeah. And I think during those moments where you're kind of caught up in the responsibilities of motherhood and taking care of this new precious joy, that you really don't know how to navigate friendships anymore to feel like there are people there for you. Even in those situations where, you know, like I had some family support and I had my daughter just 2 years-ish after moving to Blue Ridge. So I did not have a ton of like close friendships yet. I had a few, but not a ton. So I think that sort of attributed to the fact that I felt kind of lonely in that. But just not knowing how to navigate motherhood, then it seems a little bit more difficult, I think, to accept help or to even ask for help. I didn't want for anybody to, this is total transparency here, I didn't want for anybody to feel like I couldn't do it or that I needed help. Yeah. But the truth was, I needed help and it was okay for me to ask for help. But in that time as a new mom, I didn't see that. I felt like I needed to prove myself as a mom. And so I think sometimes moms can, we can get caught up in feeling like I need other people to know that I can do this, and not ask for help. After I had the twins, though, totally different story. I asked for all the help and accepted all the help I could get.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think like what you're saying, I know for me, it was like a pride thing.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And also there's a responsibility that comes with being a wife and being a mom in your home. And so in that, it feels like this just like heavy weight sometimes. I mean, it is an honor and a responsibility to be a mom and a wife. And I love those jobs more than anything else, but it can feel heavy at times.
What's you guys' encouragement maybe for someone who's listening to this, who's like, you know, I think I do need to reach out maybe just to find some relationship. Like I don't have any relationship or community outside my like family or my family unit right now. Like I want to do that, but I really like, I don't know how to take a step forward. What's your advice? Maybe if someone, you know, were to walk up to you on a Sunday or maybe reach out to you and ask that question, what would you say?
I think just be like, open up, like just open yourself up in a way that you can grow in friendship with people and, like show up and text each other randomly and I don't know, respond to their Instagram stories. Just interact with other moms. And we get it. Moms are inconsistent. I'm inconsistent. We have sick kids. Sometimes we have school sports obligations, other things that come up that maybe we can't show up all the time. But I just really want to encourage you, if you're listening, just to invest into your relationships with other moms, even if it's like you're only talking once in a while or when you see each other in person, just invest into that and take the time you do have and just run with it and use that time and grow in your friendships. That's how Tristan and I became friends. So
yeah, I think reaching out can be the hardest part, but kind of getting over that step of reaching out will really open the doors for so many more connections and relationships to recognize that you're not alone and to start building those relationships, whether it's talking to another mom on Kids Hall on Sunday mornings or attending mom's group or getting someone's phone number and, like Courtney said, just randomly texting them, just that initial reach out can really make a huge difference in relationships.
So you guys have kind of already touched on it a little bit, but I think there's a lot of challenges to being a parent. There's a lot of challenges to being a mom right now. What's hard about being a mom in 2022? What are some of the challenges? What are the things that, you know, you guys see come up, you know, during group or in those conversations or when you're, you know, pinging back and forth online? What are some of those that you think kind of pop up maybe more often than not? Or
Well, let's get our list out. I'm just joking. There is a lot of challenges, but one challenge that I see come up often is comparison. Mm-hmm. And it's comparing what should I be feeding my kids? Is this healthy for them? What should my kids be doing at this stage of their life? Is my kid meeting this milestone? It's just constantly comparing ourselves. It's what we should look like after we have a baby. It's how we should act. You know, it's just all these challenges that it comes from comparison. And it's, I think that we, you know, a lot of times when we have questions about our kids, I know I am guilty of this, but I'm like, oh, Google, let's Google this. And I think that that can be a problem. But I think the main problem is social media. And I think that a lot of influencers, you follow them and you like, you think you're friends with them, or I don't know. I mean, I do. I think I'm friends with a lot of influencers and I don't even know them. But then when my kid isn't reaching the same milestones that their kid is, it's like, what am I doing wrong? And should I be doing this? Am I missing something? Or if they look a certain way after, you know, they had a baby and I don't look that way, it's like, am I less than, you know, am I not enough? And I know that that has been just a challenge for me personally. I know it's a challenge that comes up often, is just comparison. And I think that instead of turning to Google or social media, turn to God's word, because God's word, you know, Chan, he keeps saying in his sermons that it might not have been written to us, but it was written for us. And I think that we can find answers for parenthood or motherhood all in God's word. And so I think that my encouragement in that is just to turn to God's word. So when you have doubts or you have questions, stop searching for those things on social media or stop searching for what you should be on social media when God already says who you are and who you are in him. And that's enough.
Yeah, I definitely think that comparison is something that I've recognized, like within myself, that I struggle with. So I have my oldest daughter has diagnosed autism, and so her development is delayed, and so I think that brings up a lot of comparison struggles for me. But I also think another issue challenge, I guess, would be trying to find balance in all of those things. Being a mom of multiple kids, trying to find balance of being able to spend time and make sure that all three of my kids, you know, feel loved and supported, and spending time with each of them at the same time, trying to balance being a godly wife and being a support to my husband, and being a full-time working mom, you know, trying to balance that as well. I think that can be a challenge, and comparison can play a huge role in trying to find that balance of not feeling good enough because I'm not feeling successful in this one area of my life, or feeling like I have to succeed in all of these areas, or I have to be at the top in all of these areas, and just trying to find that balance of showing God's love in all of those areas and turning to God's word in all of those areas. And really, I think in any of the challenges that we face, challenges our faith and our trust in God. And I know, like, in multiple things that I've experienced in as far as balance and comparison, has really brought me closer in my relationship with Christ, because I've had no other choice but to lean on Him. I wouldn't want to lean on anyone but Him. But in those situations, it's taught me a lot of lessons too.
Yeah. And I think the Bible, I mean, I think we have to use God's word as the standard for our lives,
right?
And nothing else. Mm-hmm. And I think that in that, we get wrapped up a lot of times in the busyness of life. We get wrapped up in if you're in the newborn phases and the sleepless nights, if you're in the toddler phases, you get wrapped up in how to discipline them and trying to keep them alive, honestly. And then there's all these new challenges that come with different seasons of life. And I've noticed, I've only been a mom for 2 years, but I've just noticed that in each season there's challenges and then there's the joys, you know, there's different. And so I think in our kids and just whatever season of life they're in should bring us joy, and, you know, not comparing to other children. And I know, like, I mean, we've all done it. And I just think that the Bible has to be our standard for how we parent and how we live.
Yeah. And I think, like, in talking about mom's group, kind of going back to talking about mom's group, it was titled Purposed for the reason that we want for moms to know that their identity is in Christ and they have a purpose, and not just to be stuck on that comparison or feeling like I have to be this Pinterest mom or this influencer mom or all my pictures have to be filtered and perfect. But real life, Christ has given you these children for you to disciple them. And we can't do it without Him, but you have a purpose. And these children that God's given you are part of your purpose and part of His perfect plan for your life.
And can we go back just a second to social media? It is not all that it seems. And I think that, like, a lot of times we get wrapped up in that too. It's just like we see these things that are posted and we're like, man, their lives are perfect. And their kids don't throw tantrums in the grocery store. Their kids, you know, and I've just noticed that, like, I get in that rut, I guess I'm trying to say, of a valley of, like, I want my life to look like their life. I want my kid to not throw tantrums. I want my kid to act right. And I think that, too, something we have to remember is our kids are just learning boundaries just as much as us. I don't know how to handle my feelings half the time, so they don't either. And so I think that in motherhood, something I'm learning, too, is so much grace and patience. And I'm just reminded of all that God's done in my life. And I want to have that same kind of love and mercy on my 2-year-old that Christ has had on me and my entire life.
Right. Yeah, I think that's something that just, you know, as humans and, you know, the the Western part of the world in the 21st century right now. We're trying to figure out how to navigate. Like, we don't really know fully, I think, how our phones are impacting us and changing us every day. If you guys ever heard me talk about spiritual formation before, I talk about how everybody that's a human is being spiritually formed by something, whether you're a Christian or not. You're just being unintentionally formed by the environment around you. And I just think about, like, I get a little screen time report, you know, just like everybody does every Sunday, tells you how much time.
That's embarrassing.
Yeah.
Or if it's increased or decreased.
Yeah, I hate when that comes up.
Yeah, and it's like one of those things where I just think, man, 4 hours a day, I'm allowing whatever it is I'm interfacing with on my device to form who I am. And, you know, you can actually drill into that report a little more and it'll tell you exactly how many minutes you're spending on which apps. And it's like, it's one thing, you know, I use my phone for everything, for work, for working out, for, you know, live travel, talking to people, that whole thing. So it's like one thing, you know, it's kind of like a tool, you know, that you use, but it's another thing. It's like, man, I'm spending an hour and 59 minutes a day scrolling through the gram, you know, like, I think it's a question of like, how am I letting that form me? And that's not just a question, I think, really for moms, but I think everyone in some ways, like you're saying, Courtney is saying, you know, whether it's, man, I'm not a good enough mom. I could be not a good enough man, not a good enough woman, or I'm not traveling enough. I'm not experiencing all these things like everyone else is. And then the ugly side of that is, man, what if I've made a mistake? You know, maybe I shouldn't have gotten married when I did, maybe I shouldn't have gotten married to who I got married to. Maybe if I would have done this differently, then I could be having this experience right now. So I guess, you know, kind of circling back to what we're talking about in our conversation today is what do you guys, in your opinion, are signs that, man, I'm interfacing with this too much. Like this is too much because it's starting to change who I am. It's starting to let those feelings of comparison, like you say, creep in, or starting to make me doubt the things that I'm balancing. Maybe I should take more time away from something I'm responsible for, a priority, and put it more towards this. What are some of those signs, maybe off the cuff?
So maybe when your son, as in my son, brings my phone to me and says, "Mom, here's your phone," because I don't have it in my hand right then. That was a wake-up sign.
Yeah.
Okay, I probably use my phone too much, and he sees that, and he wants my phone all the time because that's what I'm doing, is holding my phone in my hand. I think that was a big, like, okay, it's time to make some changes here as far as like where I'm spending my time, and where my priorities are, or even having to go back and say, you know, where I'm trying to do dishes or clean up or something, and the kids want me to play with them, and I'm like, not right now, like I don't have time. And then I have to catch myself of, okay, then what am I spending my, what's most important? Where am I spending my time? Where should I be spending my time? Those are a couple of things that have happened in not long, too soon for me to really want to admit.
Yeah, I think some signs for me is just that. I mean, Rylan hasn't said specifically like, "Mom, here's your phone," but I recognize when I'm not present, and that's in my marriage and that's in my mothering. I honestly start feeling like a conviction over it. And like Trista said it, but like God has entrusted this child to me. And then here I am just sitting on my phone or not paying attention to her. And then I recognize it and I'm like, oh my goodness. You know, she's only little once, and one day she's not going to want me to get in the floor and play with her. And one day your newborn isn't going to need you to cuddle them to sleep. And one day your elementary age kid is going to be walking themselves into the school. And one day your kid's going to be walking across the field at graduation and they don't need you as much. And so being present in the moment and in the season that you're in right now, I think it's just so important. So if you feel that pull away from your kids or away from your husband, I just want to tell you just to like run back into them, like hold on tight to that moment, enjoy that moment that you have with them. I think.
And that's not to say that some of those moments are not going to be hard, because the reality is there's been times where it's been like, you know, more experienced moms have been like, enjoy this, you know, like they're only little, for a little while and you'll miss this. And I try to soak that in and try to think that, but sometimes I'm like, well, this is just hard right now.
Yeah. Right, and I just need a break.
And I don't want to be experiencing this right now. Yes, I recognize that I will miss it, but the reality is this is hard right now. And I don't want to be, you know, in this moment where this is hard, where my child is having a full-blown meltdown and I don't know what to do and I don't know how to comfort them. I don't feel like I have to enjoy that moment, but I can recognize my presence in that moment, my response in those moments.
Yeah, that's cool. That reminds me of something Gina said in the parenting, How to Win at Parenting podcast, just about, you know, you got to name the challenge and you got to acknowledge that it's real. And yes. I think, but it's really both what you guys are saying is, Courtney, earlier you said, you know, there's joys and there's challenges
right.
in every season. And I think that's kind of what you're saying here, just is like, you know, there are times like when it's joyful, you're in a good moment and you're in a good part of that season. But then there is also times in that same season where it's like, this is really bad. And it's okay for us to acknowledge that it's hard. And it's okay for us to lean in and say, got it. I really need you to meet me on the other side or I can't make it.
Yeah.
In that. I think that's really good.
Yeah.
I think that's really key.
I think too, like, you know how when you're, so I have said this 1,000 times, but Dylan used it in a sermon and he said, you're either in a storm, you're coming out of a storm, or you're approaching a storm. And I think sometimes when you're, you don't recognize God's goodness until you're coming out of that storm. When you're in a storm, sometimes it's hard to see how God's working and you're like, what is going on?
Yeah.
This is chaos. And then when you get out of that storm, you see his faithfulness and his goodness. And so, you know, in that moment of you're like, this is really hard.
Yeah.
I don't know how to discipline. I don't know how to even have control in this moment. And then once you're out of it, like, I know I'm reminded of like, okay, like God is good. He is faithful. He is going to see us through these tantrums. He is going to guide me. But the only way for him to guide me is if I'm leaning into him. I'm going to miss God if I'm not leaning into him, if I'm not walking closely with him.
Yeah, one thing I've shared in mom's group is that instead of constantly being like, you know, God, why is this way? Why is my situation this way? Or like, God, why does my daughter have autism or things like that? Instead asking, okay, what are you teaching me through this? Because I do believe that he's teaching me something. And from my experience so far in my Christian walk, every challenge that I have experienced has brought good to my life and has taught me something. And so I think sometimes when I'm going through challenges, like as a mom, then instead of saying like, oh God, why is this happening? Or why is this my life? Or why did you think that I could handle this? Which goes back to a message Chan did. I can't handle it without him. But instead saying, okay, I'm listening and I'm looking. What are you teaching me through this? I want to learn through this. I want to grow closer to you through this challenging experience. And just praying that he reveals those things to me.
Yeah, I think that's so good. Something important for everyone to remember is, you know, Christianity is the one belief system that offers you that something good can come out of hardship, that in other worldviews, it can be, you know, sometimes bad things happen to you, like in a pagan worldview, because you didn't do the right song and dance, and now God or the gods or whoever are mad at you. Or maybe you did do the right song and dance, and they still are mad at you just because they do whatever it is that they want. Or from a more human worldview, it's like, you know, the universe just sucks, and there's nothing you can do about it. But I think, like, when we can remember that, you know, God is the God who sees us, and he is the God who cares. And not only that, he is the God who's with us in that. And it's something so important to remember through just so many seasons and times of life. And I think one thing that's helped, you know, me in my life is community. So I want to ask you guys, how important do you feel that, you know, community is for being a mom? But more than that, how important is it to have other people who are committed followers of Jesus involved in your life and your family's life that are not a part of your family, that are not a part of your nuclear family, in you guys' opinion?
I think it's huge.
Yeah, I think it's crucial.
Yeah. Has just made a, a significant difference in motherhood for me. I'm blessed. I have a very supportive family, but they don't live here. So sometimes they're not able to be here or to be a physical presence and of support. So having that community and having that relationship with other like-minded moms and women that I can just reach out to and say, like, I am struggling, can you pray with me, has made a significant difference in motherhood for me.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that, I think two things is that in your hardships, you have people, you have an army of people who will surround you and encourage you and love on you and support you and pray for you and all of those things. And then also I think, in community and in relationships comes accountability. And I need that accountability in my life. I need someone to say, hey, you seem a little off. Maybe you should go spend some time with the Lord. but I need people that will just direct me back to Him. So in those moments of hardship, again, I said it earlier, but it's hard to see God in those moments of hardship. So I need someone to say, no, here, He's right here with you. He's never left you. He's not going to forsake you. And keep pushing through, because He works all things together for the good of those who love Him. And I think that just constantly being reminded of that and just constantly being turned back to Him is, I think community is so crucial. I think community is crucial in motherhood. I think community is crucial in your life. And if you're single, I think community is crucial in your marriage. If you are married, you need people that are like-minded to surround you and support your marriage. I mean, I just think community, yep, get in community.
Yeah,
absolutely.
And then, and not just having those people that will say, like, you know, that are constantly pointing you back to Jesus, but also those people who are showing you the character of Jesus. Like, hey, I see that you're struggling, pointing you to Jesus, pointing you to scripture, but also saying, like, what can I do? Mm-hmm. Like, how can I serve you? Because there's going to be seasons that I go through, or that I'm currently in, where I just don't have the either mental capacity or physical ability to serve moms. But there will be seasons that I do. And I think as moms, we understand in different seasons those different abilities that we may have. So when I'm in a season that I can bring a new mom a meal, I want to do that and serve them and show the character of Jesus through that.
Yeah, I think also constantly looking for those opportunities to serve. And again, you said it, sometimes we don't have the mental capacity to serve, and sometimes we need to be served.
Right.
And that's okay to admit when you need those times, I think. Like, absolutely. And just constantly looking, though, how can I serve other moms, or by taking them a meal or praying for them or sending them Venmo money for coffee. I love when I get Venmo money for coffee. I'm like, man, someone thought of me today. Right. And this is not an ad to send me Venmo money for coffee.
It really felt like an ad.
I mean, we can attach my Venmo.
I'm not going to lie. I'm not going to put your Venmo in the show notes.
I'm just joking. But yeah, just constantly looking for opportunities to serve.
Yeah. And just even in those times where, you know, a mom may just be like, I really just need for you to pray for me right now. I've tried to be more intentional, and I'm not perfect at it, but I try to be more intentional of just, instead of just saying, yeah, I'm praying for you, or I'll be praying for you. Like, if it's through text message, typing out a prayer for that person for them to read, to go back and read when they need to. Or like, hey, I'm going to see you on Sunday at church, and just going up to them and saying, like, I've been praying for you this week. Can I pray for you right now? And being very intentional in serving women that way, serving moms that way.
Yeah, I think what I'm hearing you guys say, and I think this is so, so important for everyone to grasp, is to be a part of, you know, the body of the Christ, the body of Christ, the Christ. I sound like a real liturgical person right now. To be a part of, you know, the church, the family of God, it is a giving relationship, and it is a consuming relationship. And sometimes I think if we feel like we're overwhelmed in life, or we feel like we're drowning in whatever it is that we're trying to do, whatever season of life it is, regardless of, you know, whatever it is, is sometimes we come into a situation and we're like, I just need help. And it's just like consume, 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 consume. And then you're like, oh, I don't want to be labeled like I'm a consumer. But it's like, it's okay, one, to acknowledge that you need help.
Yeah.
And that there are times when you need to consume. But also on the other side, there is a time to give.
Right.
And there's actually value in giving and to helping and to serving other people that you can actually sometimes gain, I think, even more by giving and helping than you can from consuming.
Yeah.
So there are times I feel like where people will come in and that's all they want to do is they just want to give, 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 and they won't ever consume. They won't ever receive help. They won't ever receive from the other side. So to really win at being a part of the church, because the church is a gathering of people, it's not a building,
right,
is there is a giving and a serving element to it, but then there's also a side of receiving love. And if you're not able to do both, I really think at the core of that, we don't have time to get into this, is really a pride issue in that. But that's so important, because I can't help but feel like there's someone who is listening to this who's like, man, everything that you guys are saying is so great. And like, I would just love to be a part of a community like that, but I don't have an opportunity to do that. And I think Courtney gave some great advices. On one hand, like, you kind of just have to take the plunge.
Yeah.
You know, like you gotta reach out. You know, one thing that one of my heroes in life, my great aunt Leela, she turns 100 in July. She's a World War II veteran, super cool lady, that she always used to say is, if you want to be a friend, you got to be a friend to someone. And that's so important, and that's so critical. So don't give up before you start.
Yeah.
I think is what I'm hearing like a lot of you guys say. And you know, you got to play both sides of the ball. You got to be sometimes on the consuming side and sometimes on the giving side if you really want to see.
And all the introverts listening are cringing. Like,
I'm so right? I'm an extroverted extrovert, so it's easy for me to reach out. But I think don't get stuck in your head either. Don't create scenarios in your head that you think are going to happen that aren't actually going to happen. Just step out and take the step and just, again, reach out. You can do it. I have faith in you, and I want to be your friend.
And that's me. I'm the overthinker. I'm the overthinker. I don't totally consider myself an introvert, but I'm the overthinker before I take any kind of step. But I would encourage you that, I may see you, or Courtney may see you, or another mom may see you, and we don't know you well enough to know that everything is not okay. But I can guarantee you that if you are to reach out, we're ready to support you. And if we are not in a time or a season that we can support you in the way that you need, we're going to figure out how to get that support for you.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. That's and good. I think we all experience the things that we experience to be able to help other people. And I fully believe that. I believe in my pit of isolation. I think God has used that. And I think he continues to use that, because if I would have never experienced that isolation, I would not be able to relate to moms who have. But I have, so I can relate. Right. And I have experienced things in my life that makes it easier to relate to other moms. Tris has experienced things. We all have different stories, and God can use each of our testimonies as a way to reach other people.
That's right.
I think it goes to, so the verse that we actually like centered the moms group around, it's Deuteronomy 6:5-7. I'm going to read it. It says, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home, when you walk along the road, when you lie down, and when you get up." And I think, so Tristan and I, when we picked this verse to center around the moms group, every aspect of this verse can speak to you in your motherhood journey. So it's Moses. He is speaking words of encouragement to the Israelites in his last days. He's telling them these commands before they enter the promised land, and he's giving this to them as a reminder that if you follow these commands, that you will live the abundant life that Jesus has for you. Again, it wasn't written to us, but it was written for us. And love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. That just speaks for itself. And I just want to encourage you just to center your heart on Jesus. If you're far away from him at this time, he is waiting for you to turn back. He has open arms, and he just wants a relationship with you. He wants you to love him. And then these commands that I give you today are to be on your hearts, impress them on your children. talk about them when you sit at home, when you walk along the road, and when you lie down, and when you get up. So it's literally every aspect of your life. He wants us to have his words in our heart. And then when we love God with all that we are, and he's in everything we do, he is a constant companion, and he's there in every aspect to help us solve problems, make decisions, and parent, be a wife. He's in the good, the bad, the ugly. And he's the same God on the mountaintops that he is in the valleys.
Yeah, and we have to love God first.
Absolutely.
The rest of that to take place.
Yeah.
Guys, this has been such a fantastic conversation today. You guys got any just closing thoughts as we get ready to land the plane here? Any last 10%? Anything you'd like to say again or just repeat again?
Just a reminder to all the moms out there, you are not alone. If you feel alone right now, take that step to reach out. You're not alone, I promise. We will be happy to pray with you, for you, or to support you, however. But just a reminder that you're not alone and that you're loved and you're valued and you're doing a great job.
Yes, absolutely. If no one tells you that today, you are doing a great job. I think a lot of times in motherhood, people don't always see the work that we do except for our children. And sometimes they're not grateful, but you are doing a great job. And whatever season of life that you're in, I just want to encourage you just to, push through it, push through the bad, push through the hard, and just center your heart on Jesus, whether that's in the newborn stages. That's hard. We get it. We've been there. Toddler stages again. Whatever stage of life you're in, I know those are the only two that I've been in, but I know that some days are harder than other days, and just push through.
And even when it's hard, you can find joy in Christ.
You can, absolutely.
Well, guys, this has been such a fantastic conversation today. Thanks for joining me today, guys. Thanks for listening. Guys, hey, what do you want us to talk about next time? Shoot us an email, info@theridge.cc, or you can send us a message on Facebook. You can send us a message on Instagram. We want to know what you guys want us to talk about. But hey, hope you guys have a great rest of your day, and we'll see you guys next time. We are out.
Hey, thanks for listening to the Ridgecast. If this episode was helpful, please feel free to share it with a friend. For more information about The Ridge, visit us at theridge.cc or follow us on social media at @theridgecc. See you next time.